It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Talk about confusing. The former guy, Donald Trump, on Monday said, "The temperature has got to be brought down." He was talking about the heat emanating from last week's FBI search of his Mar-a-Lago residence and club in Palm Beach, Florida, and his own rhetoric that raised the temperature immensely. Well, the FBI has been facing incoming threats since agents recovered boxes of classified and top-secret documents that Trump appeared to have taken with him when he left office. An armed Trump supporter who was apparently in Washington, D.C., when a pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, allegedly tried to breach the FBI's Cincinnati field office last week. After a standoff, he was shot and killed by police. Despite Trump's call for calm, he also repeated his attacks on the FBI over the search, saying that Americans aren't going to stand for another scam. Yeah, that's what we've been hoping for. Anyway, today's Tuesday, so primary season continues as voters in Wyoming and Alaska head to the polls. In Wyoming, Republican Representative Liz Cheney, vice chair of the House Select Committee investigating January 6th, and the Republican Party's most outspoken critic of the former guy, is trying to hold on to her seat. But the latest polling is not encouraging. Cheney is one of 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach the former guy last year, and she also lost her party leadership position after repeatedly criticizing the orange one. Today, she's running against a primary challenger backed by Trump in a state where he won 70% of the vote in the 2020 election. Experts say this race underscores how Trump's hold on the Republican Party is tightening, even as the former guy's legal challenges keep mounting. Separately, voters in Alaska are casting ballots today in two separate elections for the same seat. One for the remainder of Don Young's term after he died, and the second one is to fill it for next term. And yes, Sarah Palin is on the ballot. Oh boy. Here's some good news. The average price of gas could drop below $3 a gallon in much of the U.S. by the end of the year. Gas prices have been falling for 62 consecutive days and will likely to continue the steady decline for a while now. The national average for a gallon of gas was $3.96 on Monday. That's down $1.06 or 21% since hitting a record high on June 14th. And even in states with high gas prices like California, the average price is still down more than $1 a gallon since the June peak. Somehow, I don't see people tearing down those Biden stickers or putting up more "Joe Biden did this" regarding the price drops. Just saying. The Taliban on Monday celebrated the one-year anniversary of their return to power in Afghanistan. Taliban fighters brandished rifles and banners in victory parades throughout the streets of Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, which the Islamist group seized as the United States and other Western nations rushed to pull out their last forces, diplomats, and other stragglers. The chaos surrounding the Taliban's unexpectedly quick ousting of the Western-backed government that preceded them dragged down the country's economy. Human rights groups say this new Taliban government, led largely by hardliners, had reneged on initial promises to let women and girls continue to have access to education and jobs. What a shame. So President Joe Biden is cutting his vacation a bit short to return to D.C. today to sign that sweeping $750 billion Inflation Reduction Act, which actually encompasses health care, taxes, and climate change. This marks a major victory for Biden's administration and the Democratic Party ahead of the midterm elections. The Inflation Reduction Act accomplishes several key Biden legislative agenda items and represents the largest climate investment in American history. And it looks like Biden is heading back to D.C. alone as the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, today tested positive for COVID-19. So it goes. So as the arguments over the FBI's execution of a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago last week heats up, the Justice Department stated in a filing on Monday that it opposes the idea of releasing the affidavit the key details that led to the search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate last week. The DOJ said some continued secrecy is needed to protect the investigation, and therefore it will not unseal the affidavit, which outlines why the search was necessary. Several media organizations had asked for the affidavit to be unsealed after the search was concluded. Meanwhile, a federal judge on Monday rejected Senator Lindsey Graham's request to quash a subpoena for his testimony in a Georgia investigation into potential criminal interference in the 2020 presidential election. Graham said he should be granted immunity from testifying due to protections afforded him as a high-ranking elected official. What? But U.S. District Judge Lee Martin May said Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, quote, has shown extraordinary circumstances and a special need for Senator Graham's testimony. Rudy Giuliani, who has also served as Trump's personal lawyer, was notified further that he is a target of the criminal investigation by that Atlanta grand jury called by Willis. Giuliani is expected to testify in the next day or two. And in case you hadn't already heard, we have a teacher shortage. It's a national teacher shortage here in the U.S. Maybe if we paid our teachers a living wage, that wouldn't be the case, but I digress. Teachers say that they need higher salaries across the board. They need more mental health support for their students. They need more support staff. They need multi-year job security, less paperwork, less standardized testing, all things that should be easily attainable. Well, the guy who considers himself dear leader of Florida, the current governor who's running for re-election, Ron DeSantis, came up with his own plan to fill some 8,000 to 9,500 teacher vacancies in the state. And it doesn't incentivize people to become teachers, but it does drop the barrier to entry for a select group that has no obvious predisposition to educating children. The new policy that allows military veterans to teach in Florida classrooms, even if they have not completed so much as a bachelor's degree. Veterans will receive a 5-year temporary certification if they served 4 years in the military and obtained an honorable or medical discharge, and they must have completed 60 college credits. That's about half of a typical 4-year degree. And they must have posted a 2.5 GPA or better. Really? 2.5? Teaching your kid? By the way, Florida is the third largest state by population. Its economy ranks fourth in the nation by gross domestic product. Yet, as of 2020, Florida ranks 45th in state education funding and 49th in average teacher pay. But that's right, Gov. Just put some unqualified veterans in the room. Hey, they can teach the kids to shoot. Please. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.